In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past few days, I've been reading those scripture readings that you heard this morning over and over again. And so Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I had one train of thought, and then the weekend hit. And it completely changed the whole flow of my train of thought and what I wanted to share with you this morning. When you look at those passages of Scripture, you see a community of people, a community of disciples that are being pushed out by the Spirit to include more and more people in the new thing that God is doing. And then when you look at that passage in Revelation, you see juxtaposed right in the middle, couched right in the middle of that passage. Behold, I knew, do a new thing that God is doing. Death will be no more. There will be no more crying, no more tears. This is God's vision for the world. And as our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, so often says, what you see here in the Gospels and in the New Testament as a whole is the unfolding of God's dream for the world, which so many times seems like it is nothing but a nightmare. This past week has been an interesting week in the life of our world. Some of us were in Israel not too long ago and in the West Bank, and we got the news this week of the journalist who was shot dead and all of the unrest that continues to occur there. It seems like just the unraveling of that part of the world. And then all that's going on in Ukraine and continues to unfold. And then yesterday afternoon, the news flash went out of another shooting here in our country. And 10 people who are dead now because of a senseless, horrific act of violence. And when you put the newspaper and the news cycle up against what we read in Scripture, you see that they are two very different things, aren't they? And then there's this passage from the Gospel, which, God bless us, we can't seem to get our heads around as a human race, where Jesus is very explicit in his command to his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. And by this kind of love, the world will know that you are my disciples, not because of what denomination you are a part of, not because of what church you go to or what you wear or what your sexual orientation is or whether you're male or female. You will show the world who you are because you have love for one another. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another. And it's not just any kind of love, is it? Not a love that is sentimental, not a love that is based on transaction, what I can do for you and what you can do for me, but sacrificial love, the kind of love that has been shown to us in what God has done for us in Christ. It is the self-giving love of God, and you see it all through those scripture passages today. That psalm is just beautiful in telling us what God has given us. This is the self-giving of God. And this is the kind of love to which the Christian community is called. A self-giving, sacrificing love that just gives itself away for the sake of the other. I think that is both a great responsibility, because it's really hard to live up to that kind of love, isn't it? To be a community and to be individuals that are just constantly giving themselves away for the sake of the other. But it's not just the responsibility that I want to focus on this morning. It's also, I think this is just a great gift to the world. I mean, think of this vision of God for the reconciliation of all people and all things. For a community, a place where people can come together and learn how to love one another as God has loved us. This morning before the early service, Mother Carissa and I were talking about this and the different ways that we can respond to the brokenness of the world around us and to all these events that continue to unfold at what seems like a lightning pace. One thing is to just withdraw completely from the world and just say, I'm done with it. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to go hide under a rock somewhere and let the world pass by. Another temptation in times like this is to try to recreate the past, which we know is impossible to do, but many of us try to do that in a time of crisis and transition especially. But there is another way, and that way is to look within those circumstances and in those events to see the new thing that God is doing. And that is the gift that this parish and that the Christian faith, I think, has to offer the world. The new thing that God is constantly doing, even in the face of death and crisis and war and famine and the brokenness of the world. This parish has made some choices over the last few months to live into, to kind of experiment with the kind of love that Jesus calls us to. And one of the ways that we've done that is through our refugee resettlement ministry. And I want to ask Lorene Ehlers and Terry Foster and Mother Carissa if they'll come up. And I'm going to ask them some questions because I think this is a way of unpacking and really drilling down on what this kind of love looks like, because the love that God calls us to is actually a verb. Love is a verb for people who are Christians. Yes, Susan, come on up here. You don't have the questions, but you can chime in as we ask them. Terry, if you'll stand on this side so you guys can pass the microphone around. Over here, please. Yeah. So you can get to a microphone. And just briefly answer, because we don't have all day, but we could talk about this all day. So here's the first thing I want you guys to respond to. How have you witnessed the intersection of Jesus' desire that we love one another in action with the work that you've done related to the welcoming and resettlement of the Barbecue Hill family? Who's first?
I'll go first. it's everything. Everything that you've asked in that question and everything about the verses we've read, it's simply to care for others, to love our neighbor, to really, really drill down to, like, who is our neighbor? And we had this opportunity to work with this Afghan family, and we were brave, and we said yes, and it has been every emotional roller coaster ride, happy, sad, mad, everything. It's been hard, but we said yes because that's what Jesus has asked us to do, and it's really that simple, but not simple.
And I would just add that the love is just action. We say it, and we say we'll love our neighbor, but the action around that love is really, really important.
I didn't know I was going to be doing this, but I guess what I think about a lot is, to quote Hillary Clinton, it takes a village, and I'm not sure I would have stepped out into this all by myself, but with the support of everybody else, it takes everybody.
Let me ask you this question, and Carissa, I think you're going to have to jump in here when you can.
Okay, all right.
But how, Susan, hold on to the microphone for a second. How, in this experience, and by the way, these are three members of the leadership team. Mother Carissa's been very involved in it, as well as Susan and Terry and Lorene, Sally Farrell, and Leah Luddington are also a part of that leadership team. But how have you grown in your faith through this experience? What has this taught you about your own relationship with God?
Boy, this is hard. I guess for me, I find myself praying more. Mm-hmm. Every day when I'm getting up, I'm thinking about this, and I'm asking for help and support. And I've learned that I couldn't do this without my faith, without being able to pray and talk to God and to have that support, knowing that, okay, you're out of your comfort zone, and as I've talked about earlier today many times in this whole situation, but I can do it because I've got that support and I have that trust, and I think that's grown in me.
Like a broken record here, but I think it's mostly for me about knowing and seeing how powerful love is and how powerful it is in not only in this community in holding this family up, but all around in the larger community in Seattle. It's just the power of it and what it has given to this family and back to me, I think, is really the basis of our faith.
There's been so many hard things that we've had to do that you cannot, I couldn't depend on my own knowledge because I did not know, and my own experience because I have not had that experience. So I really depended on the Holy Spirit to lead mm-hmm. us in, I mean, we were doing some hard things that we just didn't know. And so, but you had to move forward. You had to take that step. So it was relying on this faith that you've had your whole life and knowing that that's all I had. That's what I had to give to this. And my faith has grown. It has grown and changed, and I kind of see the world a little bit differently from the experience.
Yeah, I think building on that, it's messy. Like, I don't speak Pashto. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not very familiar with the Muslim faith. I don't know what it's like to live in Afghanistan. And I make a bunch of mistakes. I just do. I do things that are inappropriate, and I don't even know it. Mm-hmm. And the instinct can be to retreat. I'm going to do it wrong. I'm going to fail. I'm going to mess it up. And I think this is that place where I'm learning in my faith that it really is about having enough humility to allow yourself to be a learner. Mm-hmm. And that God is working with us in relationship to build us into being more sensitive and aware and culturally competent. But that we have to be willing to start as an inexpert mm-hmm. and learn and receive even as we give. And that has really increased my faith.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things also is that there's been some, we've all learned about, like you're saying, we've learned about our own selves. But because of this group and this congregation, I'm able to say, you know what, this didn't sit well with me. This was hard. Mm-hmm. This was hard, and I don't feel good about it in my spirit. And normally, the old Terry, she would have just said, well, obviously you're not doing something right because you're not getting it. But I've been able to say, this made me mad. Yeah. I heard this and it made me really mad. And what does that say about me, and what have I learned about myself and wrestled with these thoughts of, like, okay, this is something you're learning and it's changing, and so the community has given me permission to say, to speak it out and deal with it.
So, what do you think are the takeaways? I mean, what is the one thing that you think our parish can learn from this to take forward as we move through the remainder of this year? And I'll talk about this in just a second, but into a time of transition and change, and not just only for the parish, but our world is changing. As well. Go ahead.
Step into it. I think there's a lot of discomfort, and it's just the human condition to not do it. And love from afar, because I know how kind-hearted everybody is. But step into it. Be uncomfortable. The growth you feel while you're giving and loving is tremendous.
The first thing I thought when you asked that question was, say yes. Just say yes, and we'll support one another, and it'll work.
I think I've thought a lot through this time with this family about the difference between a good deed and the difference between building relationship and actually entering into the space of love. And a lot of it is because of this family's insistence on hospitality and connection and not allowing us to just be involved in a transaction. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to drop off a car seat. Bye. That is not an option. And that has expanded my sense of what it means to be in relationship, especially now when we feel very self-disconnected because of COVID and as we're going through leadership transitions. What does it mean to really lean into relationship as that place where we come back alive as opposed to trying to solve it on our own or to retreat?
I see us being their friends. We'll just be their lifelong friends. And that's our hope. Right. They won't always depend on us for everything, and we offer what we can, and then we're friends with them. And we watch their kids grow up and go to graduation and weddings, and that's how I see it.
Yeah. I told the early congregation, the crisis that occurred in Afghanistan and the humanitarian crisis and then the refugees being sent over here, all of that is a symptom. It is a sign of the brokenness of the world. And yet, when you hear this conversation, I mean, isn't it amazing how that God can, in the middle of a situation like that, make something beautiful out of it and bring about I think it's bigger than, a lot bigger than us, but it really is the work of restoration and reconciliation that is going on, and how God is using a family on the other side of the world and this parish in order to do that kind of work. And, you know, my challenge to this congregation, there is a lot going on in our world. As Mother Carissa mentioned, we are coming out of COVID. It looks like there's going to be another wave of it. The political unrest here in our own country, the uncertainty of the economy, and the craziness of what's going on in our national life right now. And then our parish is going through a leadership transition. But the gift, I mean, I'm going to stop here in just a second, but I could preach another sermon on this. What God gives us in the gospel and in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a gift that even in the midst of brokenness, even in the midst of an unsettled world, even in the midst of death, if we will be open to it, God will do a new thing. Not the thing he did 3 years ago or before COVID or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or the thing that's being done over here or over there. But God will do a new thing in us. That's the promise of that scripture in Revelation. Behold, look, hey, you know, in the South we would say, hey, y'all, look, God is doing a new thing. And my prayer for this parish and for the work that we're going to do over the next few months is that we will, as Lorraine said, step into it as uncomfortable as it seems, as uncertain as it seems, and just watch what God will do in the midst of brokenness and uncertainty. God will do a new thing. That is a wonderful gift that we've been given in the gospel. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the gift that you have given us in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the gift of community, the gift of this parish. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We fail often in the calling that you've given to us. But you have given us one another, and you've given us a vision here to do the work that you have called us to do and to really dig into what it means to love one another as you have loved us. We are grateful for that challenge and for the gift that you've given us in this family, the Barbica Hills. We pray for them this day. We thank you for the gift that they have been to us, for what we are learning and what we have learned from them. We pray for this family, for those precious girls and those little boys as they grow up in a new culture, in a new country. We pray for Ahmed and Habiba. We pray for a job for Ahmed. And we pray for your blessings on them as they try to assimilate into a totally different culture and a new way of life. And Lord, we now ask that, that you continue to lead us, to open our hearts to receive the new thing that you have in store for this parish. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.